Well, that transition did not go very well.
Whoops.
It just like instant cut. I'm gonna have
Fuck it.
Yeah. So fuck it. We'll do it live.
Welcome to Two Dads in a Podcast.
I'm Tired Dad, and this is Felix the Human.
Yeah,
that's soon me. To be starring in Joseph in the Monocolored Collared Trench Coat.
I just have to get the mono colors. I have the trench coat. It's slightly used. You don't want to know the story behind that. So this is the podcast where TD and I answer the questions that nobody's asking.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you want to jump straight into sort of the topic of the night?
Yeah. So
this one was yours.
Yes.
I didn't come up with this one this time.
So last week, I challenged you to come up with your top five. That's five. One for each finger on one hand. Yes.
I narrowed it down. I got it. All of them
superhero
are Batman
movies. All of them are Batman. Okay. I mean, that's fair, I guess. So we'll have you start this week. What is your number five?
At number five, just like I think last week, like number five could have been interchangeable with a couple. But what I settled down on was nostalgia from my childhood, which in the 60s, I was not alive. But my childhood, I did watch the 1966 Adam West Batman movie, which had such memorable quotes as, "Sometimes you just can't get rid of a bomb."
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How can you not love that movie? It's got shark repellent. It's got the Joker. It's got everything you want in a Batman movie.
It's got all the iconic villains, like shark.
It's got them walking up a side of a building, which is
very clearly
just them walking.
Them on the floor with a paint job.
But, you know, so that's my number five. I just had to tack it up there. The other ones that I was kind of toying around with was like The Crow, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, stuff like that. That easily could have been. But what I wanted to choose for my top five were ones that I thought stood out amongst the rest for one way or another.
Absolutely. My number five is very similar. It's one of those, like, any number of things could have very easily been number five. But my number five, I've got to go a little bit different with it. Incredibles 2. Pixar's Incredibles 2.
See, because when I asked about animation and you said we were going to do another animation series, I just X'd out the Incredibles. But okay. Yeah. No, that was a great one. We actually saw it with the kids first time in a drive-in movie.
Oh, nice. I bet they loved that.
I liked it. I don't know if they did or not. I don't care about their opinions most of the time.
The little dude's favorite movie for a little while, actually.
You like the second one better than the first one?
I think they took everything that was good about the first one and improved on it. And it's very rare for a sequel to do something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, both with this, the storytelling, especially the action, Mrs. Incredible's body, just everything was just so fine.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that at all. So number four, we need a graphic. Number four. So mine is going to be Black Panther.
Black Panther is a solid choice.
One of a kind, stands out on its own. It holds up for storytelling. The style is original, and obviously what it does for African-American culture, what it does for the Black community as a whole. And I mean, it's the undertaking hasn't really been done for a movie of that magnitude, something that Disney just kind of gave them the ability to do something that nobody's really been able to do, which is create something with a whole lot of more freedom than I think there has been given to most Marvel comic book movies.
Not just comic book movies, but, you know, add on there, you know, movies that the main character is a person of color. You know, they truly put this out there and was like, hey, these can be successful.
It should be a trend that's followed more where you... The thing I hate most about why I hated doing this little thought experiment is because it is so hard for superhero movies, because as soon as you interject money into it, you interject formulas, you ruin everything great about the sort of comic book style storytelling, which is originality, which is challenging social topics and really stepping out of the box that most people are trying to conform to. So once you put it in the movie connotation and studios and productions and give them money and money's on the line, like, it changes everything and it ruins most storytelling for superheroes, in my opinion. And it, that's a movie
it definitely
that didn't
can
let it.
I mean, there's a reason
that didn't
there's,
let it ruin.
There's been how many Batman movies, how many, you know, Spider-Man movies, and
Gosh, just reboots. Like, they have the turnaround for superhero reboots is faster than any other sort of genre of movie.
Absolutely.
Like, you go to horror movies, like, there wasn't a reboot of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre till the 90s. And that came out in the 70s. Like, that tells you how respected those movies were, because they were doing something different, not just in a CGI standpoint, but
absolutely
the storytelling as a whole.
All right.
What is your number four?
My number four? Adam West Batman.
Yay!
It absolutely had to be in my top five. They did so much with it. And like you said, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. At its core, it's a comedy. And
I think people nowadays overlook the casting, the strength of the casting.
Yeah.
Like, that gets overlooked because of
it's a comedy
being so wacky and zany now.
You know, if you really get down to the character of Batman, is that Batman? That's to be determined. That could be argued yes or no.
So that's the beautiful thing about Batman, is there's so many depictions of him.
Absolutely.
There's so
yeah
many different styles of Batman.
So, yeah, the Adam West Batman of the 60s, number four, it's so good. It's worth a watch every couple years or so. It's worth just going back, watching, seeing him pull the aerosol, you know, shark repellent, running down the beach trying to throw a bomb, and a woman's pushing her baby. Like, it's the ridiculousness of it.
It's
just
where he turns.
It's so great. So, all right, you're number three.
Number three. So my number three is just because I completely fell in love with character in the movie aspect. And I will preface by, I didn't really know much about it before I watched the movie, and that's Captain Marvel. It's not really a character I super paid attention to. I was into badass, like, mostly X-Men and stuff as a kid, and Batman, and it wasn't something that was really pushed on me. But I'll tell you what, Brie Larson's depiction, like, I was sold. I can't wait to see her in more movies.
Yeah, she was great in Captain Marvel. She was great in, you know, the second Infinity War movie. It really kind of, again, it's one of those things that showing comic book fans, at least the hardcore ones, can be some of the, well, any fandom has its toxic people. But you have those people, you know, women can't be good heroes and all this stuff. And there was a ton of sexist stuff going on when that movie was coming out. It was ridiculous.
We saw that with Doctor Who around the same time.
Yep, with the first female doctor.
Oh, well, she's not supposed to be a woman.
Why?
Well, they've only been fucking hinting towards it for the past 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they didn't do it sooner is surprising.
But yeah, I enjoyed Captain Marvel. I thought it was a good action film. I feel the pacing of that one was off a little bit for me personally. I felt like it kind of pushed a little too much on you too quickly. But it was also trying to get, you know, 50 years of history for this character thrown into a 2-hour movie. So it's really hard.
That's one of the things I liked about it was a little more unique than the others. Like, it didn't just... And that's why at number five slot, the Captain America, the Winter Soldier, I think it's the period parts for me. The going back and depicting different eras with these characters kind of humanizes them for me. They're not just one character in one time, and then they're just super, like, you see them across. That's why I love the old, like, Wolverine movies and stuff, where they show him across decades, because it humanizes them a bit more.
Absolutely.
And I think that type of uniqueness, that's what sold me on it. And maybe I'm just a pervert who likes an attractive woman in a badass costume. That was my number three.
So my number three is it's a perfect blend of action and comedy, and I had to put Thor Ragnarok as my number three.
Oh my god, I love that one.
It's so funny. What is it? Taika Waititi, the director, is phenomenal. He created a masterpiece with that movie. It was funny. It had action. It had a great story. It had great pacing. Everything about that movie was fantastic. And no one can tell me that Korg was not the star of that movie.
The thing I loved about that movie was everything that was around it. All the other movies and the build-ups that they were doing for these dramatic Avengers movies, it took you out of it for a minute in a good way.
Yes.
Like, it gave you a little bit
It was the comedic relief. It was that comedy relief that...
And it shouldn't have been. It's Thor.
Yeah.
It was never meant to be, but I didn't... I loved it. My wife said she did not like... I'm going to flub his name now. Jurassic Park.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh my gosh.
As the Grandmaster. Yeah, he was fantastic as the Grandmaster.
She didn't like his portrayal of the character, maybe because it was just Jeff Goldblum playing Jeff Goldblum.
I mean, he was just doing himself. Kind of was. But at the same time, that kind of is the Grandmaster. He's so affluent and so above everything else. He doesn't care.
It was perfect casting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is with the Thor movie, well, I mean, honestly, the Marvel movies as a whole, Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, Cate Blanchett, the whole nine yards. You have
The way back to the entire Thor anthology as it is now has just been a brilliant casting call all the way around.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't get much better than it. Like, Natalie Portman is still one of my favorite actresses of all time. I've already told there's a short list of people who, if they ever ask, I will leave my wife for. Natalie Portman is on that list. She knows this, so, you know.
No surprises here, then. All right, number two.
Where are we at? Number two? Are we at number two now?
Number two. Or did you tell me your number three?
Yeah, I did. My number two, Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern. Obviously, it's fucking Deadpool.
Obviously, right? Obviously, because Deadpool killed Green Lantern. That timeline never happened. Man, those end credit scenes were just too good.
It proves why we need more passion projects in the superhero film market. Because that was 100% a passion project. Like, they didn't get Deadpool right the first time. He's already got fucked twice now in superhero roles. He's going to do it right. And he did it. He went out there, grassroots. They drummed up the support. They got the budget. They did the fucking film that had to be done.
Yes. He portrayed that character. And the directing and the casting was so spot on. It was so perfect.
Even the first iteration of his portrayal was spot on. They just fucked up the writing and the directing.
Yeah.
I don't think it was his fault at all.
No. Like, no, I agree. It was a perfect blend. Like, if you want a good action comedy movie, that is by far the best action one of the best action comedy movies you could ever watch.
I'll tell you what. I went to see it with the wife. I took a few enhancers before I went and saw it. And you know what? I had a great fucking time. I had a great
You had a good enough time for everybody in that theater.
it was superb.
All right.
So what is your number two?
My number two has to be, it's a reboot because half the movies out there for superheroes are reboots. But I honestly feel like it's the first time they truly captured both the essence of the hero and his in real life persona. Spider-Man Homecoming. Tom Holland nailed Peter Parker and Spider-Man both. We've had great Spider-Man. We've had great Peter Parkers.
I think Andrew Garfield's was underrated.
Andrew Garfield's was underrated, but his Peter Parker was too cool.
Yeah, well.
His Peter Parker was not as good. His Spider-Man was fantastic. And you get the opposite, honestly. I feel like if we go back to the Spider-Man trilogy, where... Tobey Maguire. Where his Peter Parker was awkward, it was cringy, like, he was this nerdy guy who didn't fit in even when he got stronger, when he got bigger and better. But his Spider-Man also portrayed the same sort of characteristics. His Spider-Man wasn't as witty, his execution of Spider-Man wasn't as good. And I honestly think Tom Holland nailed both. You have this awkward high school kid.
Yeah.
You know, whose best friend is just as big of a nerd as he is. You know, he's part of the debate club. You know, he's super smart already. And then as Spider-Man, his wit and his delivery of those lines, you know, obviously he didn't write the movie, but the delivery and his portrayal of Spider-Man just had me absolutely loving every minute of it. From the moment he pops in and steals Cap's shield.
I don't like the development, sort of, that they went a little too fast for me. Yeah, they went a little too fast into the Tony Stark pedigree with him, which I understand because they're trying to get into Avengers and all that, and they found the right Spider-Man finally after all these attempts, so they kind of just kind of rush everything in to get it to this point.
But you also have to think of and realize that this, none of his movies, none of Tom Holland's Spider-Man movies have been origin. So we didn't see him becoming Spider-Man. He was already Spider-Man. And I appreciated that so much because, I mean, we've all seen Uncle Ben die 50 times already.
Because Disney doesn't own the rights to everything, and they want to strong-arm people, so they're trying to create this universe. They don't have the rights to all the superheroes all at once, so everything's just kind of trickling in, and then they kind of rush some things to catch up to others, and it was just kind of a money grab, like, flub-up.
See,
all of this.
I thought the movie was great.
All the restarts.
You know, maybe the pacing of it itself, but, you know, I'm also looking more specifically at the hero, at the portrayals. You know, is this character Spider-Man? Is this, you know, actor portraying the character the way it needs to be portrayed? And I honestly feel like Tom Holland definitely does. Maybe there are some pacing issues, but, you know, just like with Captain Marvel, there, I feel like there are some pacing issues with that. But the movie itself, it's such
The movies are solid.
Yes.
I have nothing wrong to say about the movies. I just wish they'd had the luxury to take more time with the characters, because Spider-Man is one character. I really do like to have all my Spider-Man. That was a cartoon. Again, take it back to nostalgia, the childhood. You know, you had the Spider-Man cartoon, the Amazing Spider-Man, you had X-Men, you had Batman, you had Superman, you had Justice League. Like, these are cartoons that are ingrained in me, and they're something I'd like to see taken better care of instead of having to rush the plot. Or rush where we're at in the timeline.
I can agree with you there. It's just with certain IPs and certain, you know, with Spider-Man trying to get those rights from Sony, which he is now officially incorporated, which is fantastic. We're going to see more care and love.
Yeah, they worked it. They worked it out. Number one. The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
We all know it. We know it's coming. It's not a great superhero movie. It's a great movie.
Yes.
That's hard to slap on any sort of genre type movie to say that this movie is a great movie. It's not a great superhero movie. It's a great movie. That's it. What else are you going to argue?
No, I can definitely agree. And I know we kind of talked about it in depth a little bit in our kind of episode zero when we were talking about Batman and the villains and everything and the portrayals of them. I definitely agree that The Dark Knight is a fantastic movie in general. And I may be a little more biased because at the time I had one of those really crappy rocking chair things that had like the subwoofer in the seat and the speakers back here, and I hooked it up and turned it all the way up and I went deaf for a week because I watched that movie.
No, and me and you saw it in theaters together.
Yes.
Like, super HD 1,000-foot IMAX or whatever the fuck it
was. Oh, man. The IMAX theaters are just a true experience. It's so fantastic. So
that's why I can easily put that as number one. It's just the fact that you can say it's not a great superhero movie. It's a great movie in general.
Okay, so my number one, I'm breaking the rules. My number one is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
See, you that this isn't fair, because I spent all week asking you specific fucking questions.
I didn't want you to take my movies.
See, because I would have had like...
It's okay.
Man.
It's okay, Joe. It's okay. I know. I was having so... Literally, when I was thinking, you know, superhero movies and
I
would have
had Batman Mask of the Phantasm on here, okay? Like, I... Forget the 60s Batman. I would have had Mask of the Phantasm. You get the best Joker and the best Batman.
But Into the Spider-Verse, like...
Yeah, that would have been on my list too, asshole.
You know, to be fair, when
animation movie.
When I was making this list, I actually forgot I said no animation. So I literally just forgot. But
you're not allowed to choose the topics anymore.
No, it's my topic. That's I can it. Do what I want.
No, no, because I would have had that. I would have had Incredibles 1.
Okay, okay. But let's go into why. And I know you love this movie as well. Like, it did something completely original with the Spider-Man IP that totally... It's like you said with Dark Knight. It's not a good superhero movie. It's a good movie. Honestly, you know, I watched it the first time, and literally after I watched it the first time, I had to buy the movie, and then I watched it two more times. Almost, like, three times back-to-back, three so different days.
You're excited they're making another.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited that they're making another one. As soon as I heard that, I looked at the missus and I was just like, if we have to go see this in theater, we have to make time to do this. The animation was phenomenal. The smoothness, the action, the style of it, like it literally looked like a comic book just jumped off the screen. The voice actors, you know, pulling in that it's not a Peter Parker movie. It's a Miles Morales movie, and introducing that, you know, we've had so many Peter Parker movies. We've had so much of that. You know, we had the movies, we've had the reboots of the movies, we've had reboots of the reboots, we've had five animated series. It's Peter Parker, Peter Parker, Peter Parker.
He is one of the few superheroes whose original personality they refuse to kill off.
Yeah, well,
like you go through how many Green Lanterns do we get on Earth? How many, you know, of all these other superheroes we get, like the Flash, normal, like regular iterations of them, and different people picking up the persona.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man seems like it would have been a natural character to move on from Peter Parker. Despite as much as I enjoy Peter Parker,
yes,
and related, it just seemed like one of those, like, even Batman got fucking old and beyond.
Yeah. Oh man, Batman Beyond was a fantastic Batman series.
So like so many of the superheroes have moved on, and you get new iterations, and it's just one of those. It was odd how strongly they clung to Peter Parker as, yes, Spider-Man, when just the broadening of the multiverse, Ghost Spider-Man or Ghost Spider or whatever. Like, my kids love that shit.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I absolutely loved about this. You know, it teased and picked, you know, you had some Peter Parkers from alternate universes, but then you had some that weren't Peter Parker at all. And the fact that we're following kind of your core, you know, in the newer comics and the newer timeline, Peter Parker did die. And you've got, you know, Miles Morales taking up that mantle. And the fact that they're finally allowing this to happen in mainstream and not just the comic books, it is fantastic. You know, we get to see a whole new take on it. We get to see the new wit. We get to see the new backstories. And, you know, we know Peter Parker Spider-Man. We've known his Spider-Man for years and years and years and years. It's finally time for us to learn about somebody new.
So next week, join me by myself when I rank my top five superhero animated movies. You're not welcome. So we'll go on to a little news. So
I forgot, man. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shut up. You're not allowed to talk. Just talk when spoken to. So Tron 3 has landed as their new lead, and it's Jared Leto. So RIP Tron. You were a great source of entertainment while you lasted, but now Jared Leto's going to come in and torpedo your franchise, as he does.
You know, I'm going to withhold my my reviews, my opinions on that. I'm going to reserve that. Will I go and pay to see it in theater? No.
The man has his own cult. It's just a matter of time before they all drink the Kool-Aid.
Oh, okay. I mean, Tom Cruise is a Scientologist. Come on.
Don't hunt me down and kill me,
please. Please don't hunt me down and kill me. You know, I'm going to withhold that, because when I first heard Robert Pattinson was going to be Batman, I'm thinking sparkly vampire Batman. Like,
look, here's the thing. Robert Pattinson got paid to play a role in which he played. Jared Leto got paid to be the Joker, in which he sent like guts as a gift to the other cast members because he thought, I'm the Joker, I do wacky zany stuff, but he's just a horrible character actor who doesn't understand the characters he's developing. Like, fucking God. Don't even get me started. Heath Ledger fucking goddamn killed himself on prescriptions because he got so depressed going deep down into that fucking dark cavern.
Oh,
so
don't
tell me you sent a box of fucking like a dead fucking bird to Will Smith and now you're a fucking character actor.
It's going to be okay. Just take a deep breath.
So, hear about the Battletoads game coming out.
Yes, actually. Yeah, I remember them showing that off. I think it released, didn't it?
I
think it just released. Already?
Okay, because I just watched a video of Meet the Battletoads, which I am super excited about because I loved Battletoads as a kid. We had it on the Game Boy, but it was also on the Genesis and the NES and Super NES. And it was a fun freaking game, let me tell you. And they are doing their damnedest to do it justice. Like, not just recreate an old game, but they're trying to make a new, fresh game that doesn't lose any of what made it great to begin with.
Yeah, the Battletoads game, it did just recently come out.
Okay.
Cool. It holds true to that side-scrolling, that beat-em-up, classic what you know and remember about the Battletoads, including really the hover bike scene that everybody hated. The game itself, though, because I've been reading a little bit on that, has not had the best reviews. It's not been received the best from fans. Well, and part of it has come from they tried too hard at kind of your corny humor, and it's coming across as try hard and not a natural take on the Battletoads humor. But
well, if you look at how they made the game, they didn't hire video game designers to design and make the game. They hired like script writers and stuff like that to make the game, who were just big fans and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm
gonna have to try it out myself.
Oh, I definitely want to play it. Like, it's overall, I've seen
overly critical.
You know, from 6 to 8 out of 10, I've seen across the board. But it's the two biggest things. Some cringy jokes that just kind of leave you like, oh, okay.
We are two dads in a podcast.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to have problems with cringy jokes.
That is fair. That is fair. So, but the other complaints that I've seen, there's no online co-op in a day and age where very few people, you know, especially with what's going on, very few people are sitting down and playing couch co-op games. That online co-op could have taken it to a next level. And then it has very little replay value. So you play it once, and that's it. It's done.
To me, the criticism of the replayability is valid. Anything else beyond that, it's just people whining about wanting what they want.
I mean, that's fair.
For me, the key point is it a good fucking game? End of story. Anything else like that is only gonna like bump it up marginally past other games if the game's great. So if you say the replayability is not good, that's a serious critique. That's a serious problem because you're spending how much fucking money on games nowadays?
So this game, it's only $20, so it's not too bad. But still, for $20, I expect to be able to, you know, maybe have some collectibles, you know, something more going on. But I do have to say the art direction they took on this was fantastic. Yeah. Honestly, straight up looks like a cartoon that you can play. And I love the trend of video games doing that with like Cuphead that recently came out. If you don't know about it, Joe, look it up. You would love the music. They
I already know the game.
Live recorded everything.
Coming out or?
They're doing a Netflix show, I think. It's an old fashioned cartoon. And
I know what it is. That's
I'm down.
That's extra. My thing is, I think the game would have been better received if it was like a $5 downloadable phone game. You know, play it on your smartphone. For get the content you want out of. Just
Battletoads?
Yeah, the Battletoads game.
Yeah.
Just a $5 phone game. Because you really wouldn't have had to do much difference. And you could have probably sold it to five times as many people.
So,
next article. Right now, Fortnite is in an epic lawsuit battle between both Apple and Google. Apparently, they not been paying them what they supposed to be paying them.
Ah, see, I didn't see that part of it. I know the lawsuit with Apple. I saw that one actually pop up the other day. And it came about because Fortnite was going against Apple's terms of service. So on the app itself, for mobile, for iOS, you could buy what's called V-Bucks. And those V-Bucks are kind of your premium currency. You can buy cosmetics and upgrades and stuff like that with them. It's all completely cosmetic, doesn't change the actual gameplay itself. But people love that kind of stuff. Hey, give me a really cool costume and I can look like, you know, Thor while shooting people in the face with futuristic guns. Sweet, I want to do it. So on their store, on the iOS store, on the iOS app, it had V-Bucks at $9.99. Or it had a link leading to an external site that took you to Fortnite's website and you got a discount if you bought directly from Fortnite. Now, Fortnite made more money, believe it or not, off of the direct site, even though people paid less because they weren't paying. There wasn't that middleman of Apple in the middle, but that goes against Apple's terms of service. You can't lead people to an external site to have them buy something to circumvent the app rules. So I kind of get where Apple's coming from, but at the same time, fuck Apple.
Well, I get where Apple's coming from. I get where Fortnite's coming up from. Fuck all of them.
Yeah, that's
because they're all millionaires bitching about fucking thousands of dollars. I don't have the luxury of worrying about thousands of dollars. All I am worried about is right now the bomb sniffing cyborg locust. That's what's got me not exactly worried, but concerned about where technology is leading us.
I understand.
I just wanted to say researchers are developing bomb-sniffing cyborg locusts, which is sounds great until the robots take over the world.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords as long as I can continue to play video games.
So do you remember previously when I told you that HBO Max is going to have a new show about Gotham City Police?
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people have been concerned about DC Comics having mass layoffs, concerned that their whole comic book department's getting shut down, everybody's getting fired. What's happening is DC Universe has come into agreement with HBO Max. All new original content for DC is going to be released through HBO Max.
You know, It's just giving me more and more reason to get HBO Max. You know, I did the free trial of it, honestly, just so I could watch the Studio Ghibli movies. But they've got so much great content on there, I'm tempted to cancel one of my other services just to have HBO Max. Adventure Time, you've got the new Adventure Time spinoff that they have on there.
Yeah.
You've got the Studio Ghibli movies. You now have... the DC Universe stuff, which we've talked about before, where DC with their live action stuff, no, I'm done. I don't even want to talk about it. But their animated shows, their animated movies, especially for the DC movies, have been phenomenal almost across the board.
Speaking of not wanting to talk about DC live action, turns out during the new Flash movie, starring Ezra Miller, who is fantastic. If you haven't seen any of his other works, Ben Affleck will be playing Batman, not Robert Pattinson.
See, I get that. I do, and I get that because Ben Affleck was Batman in Justice League, where Ezra Miller was Flash. So changing the character that drastically, I think that's too much too soon.
What I didn't get was having Ben Affleck be Batman.
I mean,
that was the end of my sentence.
Batfleck. You know, he did it just so he could be Batfleck.
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 I didn't get, or it seems like across the board, them, not just them, but also a lot of the Disney Marvel stuff are trying to get younger and younger. They decided, hey, with Bruce Wayne, let's go older. I don't dislike that decision. I think their inability to stick to what they're doing, they seem to be trying to go a Marvel route of connecting the universe. But at the same time, most of their success has been off of stuff like the Dark Knight series. And, you know, you got early Batman with what's-his-face who made Frankenweenie. you've got all these standalone films that have done pretty good on their own. So they really just need to decide what they're going to do as a universe. Either you create one unified universe, or you just let people be creative and do it on their own. But you got to choose something.
Yeah.
Or else you're just going to be bouncing back and forth for eternity. And it's going to be hard to follow. I personally prefer the creative route where you let people create their own universes and give them a little bit of flexibility. But, I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, especially with Batman as a whole, and well, the DC universe as a whole. Marvel has created this thing, and they've now officially kind of gotten to this point of, this is our universe, this is what we're doing, this is the path we're taking.
No return. That's the point of no return.
Yes, but Batman, I mean, you've got, just in the last, 5 years, 3 different actors for Batman, maybe not 5 years, maybe a little bit longer since Batman, but you know, there's too much going around. And you know, when you hear about a new Batman movie, it's like, okay, well, which timeline is this part of? Which movie is this following? Is this a sequel? Is it brand new? Are they doing a spinoff? Who's going to be this? Like, there's too much. And well,
that's why I liked it back in the day, where you knew if there was going to be a DC movie, it's not a DC universe thing. It's, well, this is now this thing, and they're either going to be a one-off movie or they're going to be booked for a trilogy. But yeah, it's going to be a timeline, and then anything else created after that or around that is going to be something different, and I'm fine with that. Like, make your Justice League movies, but have them be their own thing, and then cast outside of that for everything else. Let somebody new and creative do the other stuff, you know?
Yeah. So we gotta move on to our next our big topic here. So we've been continuing our favorite video games. You know, we started off with, you know, our favorite NES game, and
now we're on the Sega Genesis.
Don't ask why we chose this particular timeline. It's because fuck you. That's why.
It sort of made sense.
It kind of. I mean, we want to alternate. We didn't want to just do Nintendo, back.
Also, this kind of hits like the, if you go consoles, like you got the NES, Genesis, Super NES, kind of fits the timeline. And then you have like Game Boy and Game Boy Color. Like Game Boy predates a lot of that. But if you lump it together with the Game Boy Color and just kind of hit it in the middle,
yeah,
it was sort of a 95 console if you want to ping like a middle point.
Absolutely. So this was another one, and it's going to get harder and harder, I feel like, to pick our top, especially Super Nintendo. I can tell you right now what my top is, just because there's so many great games, but there's one that, you know, I definitely played more than the others, but there's so many great games. Just, to name a few that I grew up playing, you know, again, maybe not the best game on the console, but absolutely ones that I loved playing, you know, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. That was my first intro to...
Just, we're not doing the best game, we're
doing
our
favorite
game.
That's right. So I'll run down a quick list. We'll talk about what we want. I'll click a little line here or there, and then I'll give you my favorite, and then we'll have you do the same.
Yep.
So Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, fantastic game, one that I played the hell out of. You know, it's a Puyo game, it was my first introduction.
Is it like Dr. Mario?
It's kind of more of a mix. Well, yeah, I Dr. Mario may be the closest thing to it. There's a specific style of game, and it's much bigger in Japan, but that Puyo game, it's a match four style. You know, your colors drop down, you match them, but in this one you can chain them together, and your goal is to load the other player's side with rocks or various attacks, if you will, and make them lose by not being able to move anymore. There was a game like this on the Super Nintendo called Kirby's Avalanche. And they're still coming out with brand like new Puyo games to this day. But I absolutely love this one.
Pretty good. That's kind of like that.
So another fantastic game that I played the hell out of, Vector Man. You know, you're literally your vectors. You're these little balls connected together. And you run around shooting TVs and robots. I mean, I don't need to say much more. There's also an attack helicopter in there, because why not? This was the 90s. Just, I'll quick run down the next few. You know, Phantasy Star, Toe Jam and Earl, Golden Axe, Gauntlet, NBA Jam.
Great. Resurgence on the, obviously, iOS resurgence.
One of the few basketball games that I have ever enjoyed playing, and you put in the code for the big heads, you put in the code to play as the presidents, and then you slam dunk as Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And you dunk on George H.W. It was fantastic. It was just amazing. But
When they redid it, you could do Obama and Mitt Romney, and it was fantastic still.
So, with all of those great games, of course, I have to pick my absolute favorite, and that has to be Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles. Specifically the and Knuckles. You had the cartridge that you put the cartridge inside of, and then you put that double cartridge into your Sega Genesis, and you could play Sonic 3 with Knuckles. And it...
By the way, also... The Sonic games are fantastic on the handheld also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Underrated system, the handheld version of the Sega back then. But it did not miss a beat.
No, the Game Gear games were solid. Honestly, any of the 2D Sonics have been solid. I guess the worst of them, and it was still a fun game, was Sonic 4. Because it came out in two parts.
Yeah.
But it was still fun to play. But honestly, those 2D Sonics are still so good. They just came out not too long ago with Sonic Mania for the new, the current gen systems, and that game is fantastic. It was like, you know, the 90s never ceased making fantastic Sonic games. It was truly a passion project. Top down, brand new levels that touched in on old ones, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Sonic 3. So Sonic 3, a couple of the reasons I absolutely love it.
Knuckles was hands down my favorite character of the universe.
Yes.
He was a complete badass.
So not only was he a badass, like he was kind of he had a redemption arc. How do you have a redemption arc in a game that takes you a couple of hours to play? You know how? Knuckles. He starts off, he's working for Robotnik. Robotnik betrays him. Knuckles is like, no, I hate you now, Robotnik. Let me fight you now. And boom, there you go. There's your redemption. You have him going from being a villain to the hero and being one of the best characters in the Sonic games. Plus, he can fly and punch walls. But the
crazy thing about them making Knuckles the badass was, upon reveal of Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic was innately supposed to be kind of an aloof badass to attract an older crowd to the Genesis. So you had a badass character, and you topped that with an even more badass character, and making him red made him look cool, sleek, kind of a... Like,
points.
Is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy?
Two giant Holy spikes shit. As Knuckles that... But, so... Couple of reasons why I picked this one, why this is one of my favorites. You know, it was one of the few games that had a really good save system, you know, so you had multiple save slots on the Sega Genesis. You had like 8 slots you could start brand new games and, you know, try things. Yeah. You could play as Sonic with Tails. So you could have 2-player, you know, second plug a second controller in, second player controls Tails. You could play just as Sonic. You could play just as Tails. Or you could play just as Knuckles. Like, you had so much variety, so much replay value, and each character, they had the wherewithal to actually put areas that only Tails could get to. They had areas that only Knuckles could climb to and punch through these walls. So there was so much replay value. You know, the sphere system that they had for, you know, collect the spheres for the Chaos Emeralds, that minigame was challenging and super fun. And I hated that. It sometimes because it was so, got so fast and I'm jumping. Okay.
So, your like list. I did last week is I've kind of got a list of like building up to my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
It starts with like X-Men 2 on the Genesis, which X-Men was on the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, but the graphics were terrible. The game was clunky, but when it came to X-Men 2 on the Genesis, and they took it to that 16-bit, like, it looked great. It played better. The next one was TMNT, the Hyperstone Heist, which was, they created that game for the NES, but they created a different one for the Genesis, which didn't just go off the same timeline that was being played on everything, and they created something unique for the Genesis, and it was really good. So then I also had Battletoads on it because I loved Battletoads back then. It was just one of the top side-scrollers of the time. And then I had Sonic and Knuckles was my runner-up to my favorite. Because of all the Sonic games, the Sonic 2 was great, but Sonic and Knuckles was my favorite Sonic game. The only reason it wasn't my number one was because it was just as good on the Game Gear as it was on the Genesis. That's so fair. I had to choose a game that was just better, like best on the Genesis.
Okay.
Because something I can get out of a handheld that I can get out of a console, I just couldn't justify that being my best console game. So my favorite was Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim. I was so happy when he saw a resurgence and they had that Kickstarter game that came out recently. Yes.
Stylistically, artistically, storytelling, and ahead of its time for what it was a fun ass game. It was like you had Aladdin, you had The Lion King, you had all these great sort of games going on, but Earthworm Jim had the best aspects of all of that. Plus a complete unique sort of styling that nobody else was doing at the time. And it was just goofy and fun. And I thought that game was just brilliant to play.
Absolutely.
As a little like 8-year-old me, 7. Like,
playing as a little earthworm, jumping around, sci-fi. That was a lot of fun. That it kind of sits in the same place in my heart as like Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, definitely. I get that. And, like, not trying to skip ahead, but you get to, like, Crash Bandicoot and stuff like that. You can see people who are influenced by these games. And that's why it's also one of my favorite is because it's an influencer.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And not just through that media. You know, like, you look at, like, cartoons of the era, like Invader Zim. You take Invader Zim and stuff like that. Like, you know they're influenced by stuff like this in the past.
You know 100%.
Playing that game through college, and then they graduated and they created this awesome thing going forward.
You know, like I said, I believe I said last week, it could have been the week before, but the age of like the Super Nintendo, and which we're going to have to dedicate more than half of that episode to just talking about Super Nintendo games, I feel like, because there's so many. And, you know, the Super Nintendo, the Genesis, even like the Game Boy Color, it was a golden age of gaming. It truly was. You know, you have these game series that started in this area and have literally continued 20, 30 years later. And
honestly,
are still going stronger.
Growing up through all of it, like I it's been a while since you've seen a duplicitous drop off of what you would call a golden age, because like when the Xbox emerged, it was fantastic. Before that, you had the PlayStation, the PS2, And then you had the Xbox just invigorating shit. And then you started those wars. You had Xbox 360 PS4, you had the PS4 Xbox War. And then you have Nintendo trying to carve out and finally successfully doing it with what you sent me, outselling the Super NES with yep. their Switch, carving out their own path.
Yeah.
Yet again,
you know,
occupying a market that isn't there.
Yep. You know, I guess maybe golden age isn't the right term necessarily, because like you said, there's been just growth, and it's been exponential every generation, where they just continue to do things better and better and better and better, and the games are getting better and better. But I think the generation that influenced the absolute most is definitely the Genesis and Super Nintendo age of gaming.
From the time. Don't sleep on the PC in the 90s. Created so much that we take advantage of.
Well, see, there is a reason why we're not specifically, like, we're not pulling in PC games from these ages, and that's simply because PC is on its own level. And
we would have to do a separate thing, which would be PC from each decade. Just
not even decade. We would have to literally go year by year with PC games, because PC has had so much growth, so much going on with it. I mean, shoot, you had a game, Crysis.
I don't even think we're going to touch PC through any of this, because it's just too much of a topic to delve into.
Yeah, not for a little while. But, you know, you had a game like Crysis come out, and it couldn't run at full graphical settings until like 2 years ago. And it came out, let me get the exact date here. It came out so, it was ridiculous. Hey, hang on. Words are hard. Here we go. When did it come out? Its first release was 2007, and there weren't PCs strong enough to play this game until what? Within the last couple years.
So I'll take you back to we're gonna broach the subject of High Score got released last night. It's a documentary on Netflix telling the history of video games. One of the last topics they broached was Doom, which, if you remember, senior year of high school, hanging out, they re-released Doom for the first time since its conception, taking it to consoles. And that was a massive thing for both of us. We played it for the first time together. It was fantastic. But Doom was the very first ever multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the first online multiplayer game.
And Doom is still going super, super strong. I mean, so Doom Eternal was incredible.
Let me talk to you about this documentary, High Score. They do a great job. It's extremely entertaining. And it just reminded me of what exactly it is Netflix does, which is give you the biggest set of fucking blue balls ever. Because they take you from the beginning. They take you from Atari to all these different shit. They get you to NES, they get you to Genesis, they give you some taste of the Super NES and all that, and then they get you to like Doom and stuff, and they get you right to like 1994, and then they end the series after six 45 minute episodes. If you give it 4.5 hours, you're done with the thing. And it's kind of what they did with Hip Hop Evolution, the history of hip hop, where they give you a season and then they get you fucking wanting to watch more about pretty much a nostalgia jerk off. But they have a lot of great content, a lot of original footage from all sorts of great interviews from the creators of the best games around. They didn't even get all the way through Super NES and Genesis, so there's still quite a bit more to broach on the subject.
I'll definitely have to check that out, because, you know, I like video games a little bit.
Just a bit. Just a tad.
All right. Well, Mr. Felix the Human, do you have anything else for us this evening?
No, I don't. I think we've done a good episode, and I'm curious to know what you're doing tonight.
As always, every Thursday, I did skip Tuesday to work on some stuff that I needed to get done, but we will be switching over to Final Fantasy V, continuing my Final Fantasy journey. These games are getting longer and longer, man. it's starting to dawn on me how long it's really going to take to beat these games.
How many of these are you going through?
I'm playing a total of 13 Final Fantasy games.
Okay.
And I started with one, and I literally only play them on stream 2 days a week for about 4 hours each. So about 8 hours a week. And some of these games are 100-hour games. So, you know,
yeah.
About 3 years from now, we'll be about halfway through. But I'm having a blast with it. It's been super fun. So, but we're gonna continue on with that and hope that I don't get wrecked by a boss 3 times before we can continue on, because that's always fun.
Well, it sounds like you have a night ahead of you. I'm gonna let you go.
All right, buddy. Thanks for hanging out and talking. And to those of you hanging out,
see you next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll touch on subjects, and I'll give you.
Oh wait, we have a Gmail mail.
Yeah, I think we do. That's right. What is it? 2dap2020@gmail.
Yeah,
I created it, and I don't remember. So if you want to, you know, hit us up with any subjects you want us to talk about, any suggestions about anything, hit us up. 2dap2020@gmail. We're still working on getting, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff set up, but as we get that, we'll have plenty of ways to contact us. If you want to see a specific topic, let us know.